Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello, everyone. I'm your host, James Rogers, and this is the History Hit Warfare podcast. If it's your first time here, well, each week, twice a week, I bring you brand new cutting-edge military histories. We like to say we're on the front line of military history here on this podcast, and I can back that claim up. Head back through our 200-plus episodes now, our back catalogue, and you will find some amazing episodes there for you. Every period of modern history, from the Napoleonic battles through to the War on Terror. And if you want to hear an episode, then just drop us an email. Get in touch directly on warfare@historyhit.com. We want to hear the histories that you want to hear, and we want to hear your family histories as well. And you can follow us online on Twitter at HistoryHitWW2 and on Instagram at James Rogers History. Now, this episode is one of those once a week where I like to delve deep into the History Hit archive to pull out a show that I think deserves a little more attention. This one I find truly fascinating and somewhat shocking. I mean, it's on seducing and killing Nazis. During the Second World War, when the Netherlands fell so quickly to the Germans, the Dutch found themselves under Nazi occupation and many men and women resisted. But that resistance took many forms. Recently, the story emerged of three young women who chose a particularly dangerous way in which to strike back against the German occupiers. In this episode, we are joined by Sophie Polderman, and she speaks to Dan about the history of Hanny Shaft and the two sisters, Truss and Freddy Overstegen. Now, with astonishing bravery, these three young women seduced high-ranking Nazi officers, lured them into the woods, and then killed them. They also provided Jewish children with safe houses and gathered vital intelligence for the resistance. So to tell us more, here is Sophie Polderman on seducing and killing Nazis.
Sophie, thank you so much for coming on the podcast.
It's very nice to be here. Thank you.
You have written a truly remarkable story. So tell me about the subjects of this book.
It's about three teenage Dutch girls, Hanny Schaft and the sisters, Truss and Freddy Overstegen. And they were very young teenagers. They were only 19, 16 and 14 at the beginning of World War II. And then when Nazi Germany occupied the Netherlands in May 1940, they were faced with the question what to do, to adapt or to resist. And it's very remarkable that these three girls literally took up arms in order to combat the enemy. So they joined the armed resistance, and that's what makes this story so unique.
How do you join the resistance, or rather, how did they join the resistance? What was the process?
Well, of course, it started very gradually, the three girls didn't know each other at the time yet. They met in 1943. So Hanny Schaft, she was actually a very shy girl growing up in the city of Haarlem. And Haarlem is about 12 miles west of Amsterdam. And then she studied law in Amsterdam. Because ideals like justice and peace were instilled in her. Already in 1939, when Holland was not even part of the war yet, but when Nazi Germany occupied Poland, Honey decided to send parcels to Polish officers through the International Red Cross. So she started very early. And actually the Overstegen sisters, they grew up in the same city of Haarlem. And they lived with their mother, who was divorced at the time, which was unique for that time frame. And their little stepbrother, they grew up in a tiny worker's house, and they already offered shelter to German Jewish refugees in 1934. So that is actually 6 years before the beginning of the war. So that's how it started with these girls. And then gradually, from smaller things, they joined the armed resistance in 1943.
What did they do in the resistance?
Well, they started out small, like Honey started in Amsterdam when she was studying. So she would go to also in Haarlem when she was still living with her parents. She would go into all kinds of public places, like theaters and swimming pools, and she would steal identification papers for Jewish people in hiding. So she would give these identification papers to the resistance, and they would forge them and make sure that her Jewish friends would get those papers. And yeah, it really started with small acts. Also, when Jews were not allowed to in parks anymore, Honey was very fierce about that. And she said, well, if they are not allowed to go through the park anymore, I won't either. And then in she still was studying law, but then in February 1943, all students at the Dutch universities had to sign a declaration of loyalty. And that meant that they had to be loyal to the German regime. And that was way too far for Honey, so she did not sign. And well, that meant that she could not study anymore, so she moved back to Haarlem with her parents. Then she really wanted to do more than just the identification papers. She really wanted to offer armed resistance. So she told people around her, okay, I want to do more. I want to resist more, if necessary, with weapons. That was the summer of 1943. And then she registered with the Council of Resistance. And that is the Dutch group, or the resistance group in Haarlem, where Truus and Freddy were already members.
And that's where they all met?
That's where they all met, yes.
So, but what did they do to resist?
Well, they would provide Jewish children, for example, with safe houses. So they would really bring them from one safe house to another. And because they were women, they were not very suspicious at all. So they could easily ride around town on their bicycles with Jewish children on the back and bring them to safe places, for example. But other things, they would blow up railway tracks with dynamite. And then later on, it was the really heavier stuff, is that they would actually dress up nicely. They would wear makeup, very heavy makeup. And they would pretend to be so-called moffen girls, is what we would call them in Dutch. In English, you would say kraut girls, kraut from the German sauerkraut. And those were girls who had relationships with German officers, for example. So they would just pretend to be these girls, dress up with lots of makeup, and then go into bars, pick up these high-ranking Nazi officers, lure them into the woods here in the city forest of Haarlem, in order for them to get killed by the commander of their resistance group, the Council of Resistance. And later on, they themselves would shoot Nazi targets on several occasions, often riding their bicycles and liquidating or killing them.
That's extraordinary. It sounds extremely dangerous as well. Did they come up with that? Or was it a common practice at the time? Was it a tactic employed by the Dutch resistance?
Well, it was. They didn't themselves come up with it. I mean, it was part of their resistance group and the strategy. The Council of Resistance, so the resistance group that they belonged to, consisted of approximately 7 main members, and sometimes they would cooperate with other regional groups. And these 3 girls were the only women in the group. The commander of the group was called Frans van der Wiel, and he deliberately put these 3 girls on this task of the seducing part and then the killing part, because, well, they could really use their youth and their femininity and their sexuality in their advantage, and really in order to get these Nazi targets.
How many times did they kill German officers? How many people did they kill?
Well, we don't know the exact number. They never revealed the exact number. Truus, for example, Truus and Freddy both survived the war, and I personally knew them for 20 years, so I talked quite a bit with them. But they described the missions, but they never revealed the number. Truus always said, well, it was already bad enough that we had to do it in the first place. It's not important what the number is. And Freddy was always very fierce, and she said, well, we were soldiers, and you cannot ask a soldier that question. And we were soldiers, I mean, little ones, but they were. So we don't know the exact numbers. But of course, I mean, they were terrified at the beginning and extremely nervous. And yeah, they really had to shoot someone. I mean, nobody is born to kill.
You said you knew them. Were they proud of what they did?
Yes, obviously they were proud, but they were extremely down to earth, in the sense that they didn't see themselves as heroines at all. They really saw this as the only way of achieving justice. So in order to live up to their ideal of a livable world, they really had to shoot to take out these Nazi targets and traitors. Because it had to be done. That's why they did it. And they never, that's really the admirable part, that they never saw themselves as heroines. So that's really, really something.
Did they get away with it? Did they come under suspicion?
Because, well, of course they were women and they were not that suspicious, but nevertheless, in the beginning, actually, Truus, when the 3 girls met, Truus and Freddy actually had fled to the eastern part of the country in the Netherlands, to Enschede, because they were wanted in the area of Haarlem, because their profile was known. I mean, of course, it wasn't the days with internet or anything, but they had been seen, so they had to flee. And they were working as nurses in a hospital in Enschede at the time. And then when Honey joined the Council of Resistance, her assignment was to actually go meet these girls, because Frans van der Wiel, the commander, thought, okay, these 3 girls will make a great team. Because it's really interesting. They were 3 girls from completely different backgrounds. Completely different characters. Honey was the intellectual and a bit chaotic, and Truus was very down to earth and a kind of a tomboy, and a natural leader. And well, Freddy, she was still so young, but very feminine and really fierce as well. So it's really 3 completely different girls, but they made a great team. Honey Schaft had beautiful red hair. She was really known as the girl with the red hair, also to the Germans. And then, so at one point, she dyed her hair black, and she would wear glasses made out of window glass. So they would really have to disguise themselves, because it was extremely dangerous. They carried out quite a few missions, and before they would shoot their targets, they would really try to get as much information from them as possible and pass that on to the resistance, of course, in order to save lives.
What caused the anarchy?
How did medieval migrants shape the language I'm speaking right now?
Who won the Hundred Years' War?
Could England's lost patron saint be buried under a tennis court in Suffolk?
How did England's last medieval king end up under a car park?
And were the Dark Ages really all that dark? I'm Dr. Kat Jarman.
And I'm Matt Lewis. On Gone Medieval, we'll uncover the most exciting and unexpected stories about the Middle Ages, hearing from the best and brightest minds.
We will disentangle fact from fiction, bring you the latest discoveries, and reveal how the so-called Dark Ages laid the foundations for much of the world we're living in today.
Subscribe to Gone Medieval from History Hit, wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Was it known that women were shooting German officers?
Well, yes. At one point, gradually, it was known. And Hanneshaft, I mean, the Germans also called her really the girl with the red hair. They thought that she was really a terrorist. And they knew that she was working together with these two other girls. So, yes, they were really wanted in the area, yes.
Did all three of them survive the war?
No, Truus and Freddy did. But unfortunately, Hanneshaft was arrested and she was executed by the Nazis not even 3 weeks before the end of the war. So that is a very horrible story. She was arrested at the regular checkpoint, and then she was riding her bicycle and she had to open the bag on the back of her bicycle, and then the German soldiers discovered illegal newspapers. So that's actually the reason why she was arrested. At the time, the Germans had no idea who she was. And then she was brought in for questioning and she had to open up her purse. And then the Germans discovered that she had a gun in her purse. And then they were starting to think, and then they discovered her red roots coming out of her dyed black hair. So they thought, oh, this is the girl with the red hair, the girl that we've been looking for so long. And yeah, that's why she was executed.
Wow, so she was that notorious?
Yes, she was very notorious. And actually, well, it was only 3 weeks before the end of the war, and both Allies and the Germans had agreed on not shooting anyone anymore, in particular women. But yeah, unfortunately, none of the parties would stick to that agreement. And yeah, sadly enough, Honey was executed.
What about the other two? What were their experiences like after the war? Were they traumatized by what they'd been through, what they'd done? And how were they treated?
Hanneshaft, when she was executed, after that, she became the icon of female resistance. So she became really famous. Everybody in the Netherlands knows who she is. Really an icon like Anne Frank. Truus and Freddy survived the war, but they really had to fight for recognition. And that was partially because they were women, and the role of women was underestimated and really thought that, you know, women are not capable of killing, let alone in an organized resistance group. So, yeah, they were a little bit bitter about that, especially Freddy could be really fierce about that. And then there was also another part, that the Council of Resistance, their resistance group, consisted of several communist members. So especially in the Cold War, that was politically very sensitive. And both sisters have actually been shot at in 1951. They were unharmed, luckily. But so years after the war, they were actually being shot at because of their communist or their ties to this resistance group that had communist members. So they had to really fight for recognition. And they received finally in 2014, so decades later, they received a war distinction cross by our Prime Minister, Mark Rutte. But yeah, really extremely late. And Truus was always, like I said, very down to earth. And she would really tell our Prime Minister, Mark, you were really kind of late with this. She could really get away with that. But they did get the recognition in the end. And Freddie was always, she lived a more secluded life, really focusing on her family. That was her way of dealing with the war. She was bitter about not getting the recognition. And then when Freddie died last year in September 2018, especially the American media really picked up on that. And she became really famous then. During her life, she really lacked the recognition that she was looking for. Well, like you said, they were bitter. But they were, of course, extremely traumatized because they did shoot people after all. And it's a huge dilemma. I mean, even though these were major war criminals, they were extremely young and they shot people. They took people's lives, fathers of children and mothers of children, because they also shot some women. And they had nightmares and depression, and every year around our Liberation Day, May 5th, they would always have extremely bad nightmares. Truus actually went to an institution for a while, and Freddie never or hardly ever spoke about the war. She was only opening up the last years of her life. So nightmares, depression, and what we would nowadays call PTSD is really part of their lives.
But they never expressed any regret to you?
No. They never regretted what they did. They were always very fierce about, that they really believed that this was the only way. There was no functioning judicial system. For them, this was the only way to achieve justice.
Well, Sophie, thank you very much. That was a truly remarkable story. What is the book called?
The book is called Seducing and Killing Nazis, Honey, Truus and Freddie, Dutch Resistance Heroines of World War II. So you can't miss the title Seducing and Killing Nazis, and that's because of their particular strategy.
Thank you so much.
Well, thank you.
If you're enjoying this podcast and you're looking for more fascinating warfare content, then go and subscribe to our Warfare Wednesdays newsletter. Just follow the link in the show notes to find out more.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
And before you go, remember, as a Warfare listener, you get a special discount at History Hit. Subscribers get access to blissfully uninterrupted ad-free podcasts and thousands of hours of history documentaries. You've got everything from the American Revolution to my own documentaries like Traces of War, Weapons of War, and 24 Hours in Normandy, where I follow in the footsteps of the Green Howards on D-Day, from their beach landings to being awarded the Victoria Cross, and all the way through their first day where they made it 7 miles inland, further than any other British or American unit. So head over to historyhit.com/subscribe or follow the link in the show notes and use the code WARFARE to get 50% off your next 3 months. That's the code WARFARE to get 50% off. And if you're an Apple listener, you can subscribe for new ad-free episodes within the app. So give it a go. I know you're gonna love it.